We belong to a God of second chances. Love, let's just think of all the times that you and I have turned our backs in God in rebellion. And we turned away from God's love and what he had for us because of selfishness and sin and hardness of hearts. And yet there God is in chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, and here he is even now in this place. Through this verse, here is God again pursuing, calling, loving. What is that? That is grace. There's one word for that. It's grace.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're thankful that you're here today. Thankful because today's message in Jonah is all about grace. You know, and the first point from today's message, actually, just to give you a prelude, is grace, my God will not give up on me. And as Robbie and I were talking, Robbie, I said to you just a second ago, I'm so thankful for that truth, that God, my God, will not give up on me. Because frankly, there's many days when I'm tempted to give up on myself. I'm sick of myself, frankly.
So yeah, and isn't that the truth? When we look at ourselves, I mean, I feel the same way so often too. If you really look at yourself for yourself, well, it can be pretty discouraging. But that is the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of the massive and life-changing, eternal giving transformation and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's grace. It's all grace. And we see grace in the New Testament. We see grace also in the Old Testament and the life of Jonah. And so I wonder, I mean, who isn't listening today to Live in the Light, who doesn't need to hear again as to the wonders and the amazing truth of the grace of God that rests upon you if you are a blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ who has placed your faith in him. You belong to the Lord. And you are overcome, I pray, and overwhelmed by his grace. And so this truth is coming at you again. God loves us. He's coming after us. And he wants us to see again just truly how amazing his grace is. Again, even in the life of Jonah. So Lord, would you encourage your people today in a profound and supernatural way. Speak to the individual right now who needs to hear this most and encourage them with you, God. You are the answer to all of us. And may we see you and love you as much as ever. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm encouraged already, and trust you are, and trust you will be encouraged through our passage today in Jonah chapter 3. The title of today's message is Restoration, Repentance, and Revival. And let's go to today's message, and again with Pastor Robbie.
Oh, Lord, I pray that there's a quickening of minds and hearts and desires and our wills to be aligned with yours. Oh, God, we seek you now again. Oh, how frail we are. Lord, how we are so not in control. We serve the one who is. And so, Lord, we look to you. And may there just be such a sense of prayer and dependence and love to you even now among this church family, Lord. May there be a sobering, I pray. May there be such a perspective. Help us to see, Lord. Help us to really see through this life. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by such sin, selfishness, and the things of the world. Help us to see you. Help us to hear from you. Help us to believe you're so near. Help us to understand your love is perfect. Your love is upon us, and your love will never leave us. Oh, God, we want to hear from you. I've been praying, oh, Lord, this week, today, right now, asking for you to be among us so clearly and so powerfully. Oh, God, we need you. Oh, God, we need you. Oh, God, we love you. Oh God, would you again fill us, guide us? Oh God, would you speak? Oh God, would you help us as we desire to be more available to you and what you would have, whatever that is, Lord, whatever that is, in good and bad, difficulty and joy. May our lives be centered upon the one who matters, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 3. We're not wasting a lot of time today. We're going to get at it. Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read, first of all, verses 1 to 5. That's the starting of what we're doing. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Isn't that fun to say? Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. There you go. I'm having fun anyways. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says this. You guys there? Are you there? Even to the back? Hey, the back. You got a Bible open, people at the back? Amen, amen. I love that. All right. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Live in the text, live in the text, live in the text. What that must have been like for Jonah, where he came from, where he is now, where he tried to flee, where he ends up being. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Notice this. And the people of God took him up and killed him. No. It says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Now, whether you realize it or not, as we read the first five verses there in Jonah chapter 3, the passage we just read is a remarkable passage of grace. It's a remarkable passage, loved ones, of grace. Remember, do not allow our context within the book of Jonah to slip from our minds as well. Jonah, in the last verse of Jonah chapter 2, had just been thrown up or vomited out of a great fish onto the shores of dry land where he found himself. So just again, tell me if you're Jonah and this just took place and this great fish throws you up onto dry land. I mean, tell me, how you feeling? How you feeling right there? How you feeling? I have no idea exactly what Jonah must have been feeling. Must have been something, though, pretty special and also pretty crazy and also just like, what are you thinking if you're Jonah and by God's sovereignty, you're swallowed in this fish and then you're up on the dry land and then you got seaweed all over you and possibly the acid from inside the fish and your skin's all white. We have no idea if that happened or not. Some people want to say it did. We don't know. But regardless, you're there and you're on this dry land. What are you thinking? That's a crazy sequence of events for anyone's life ever. And here is Jonah, and he realizes that God has a mission for his life. I mean, just a couple of days ago, Jonah boarded a ship. I'm out of here. And then like a day or so later, there he is, and he's back to where he began and trying to flee from God's sovereignty. Now he knows he's in under the sovereign will of God, and now he knows he's under the direct guidance of God as well. This is one of these situations where Jonah is thrown up out of the whale. Like, in heaven, I'm grabbing that DVD and I'm putting it in. You know what I'm saying? Like I need to watch. How did that happen? What did that look like? What did he do? What was he thinking exactly? And just amazing for us to put ourselves in the life of Jonah to consider this. And here's my point. Jonah has been thrown up by the great fish onto dry land. Why? Solely because, listen, of the grace of God. It's the grace of God that is allowing Jonah to see again the purpose of God for his life. See this within Jonah's life. It's so powerful. There's grace in the storm. There's grace in being tossed overboard. There's grace in the fish swallowing him. And there's grace in the fish vomiting him onto dry land. It's all grace. We wouldn't see that in some ways. But a huge theme within Jonah is the sovereignty of God and God's heart for the lost and his desire to use his people within the process. Yes, God saw his rebellion, but God would not forget him. Yes, God forgave his sin and yet pursued him still. God's overwhelming and abundant grace was upon Jonah. Notice this too, because his overwhelming and abundant grace was also upon the people of Nineveh. See, what we're about to see by the grace of God within our passage today is a sequence of restoration, repentance, and revival. All because of the grace of God. We're going to see that in today's text. The restoration of Jonah, the repentance of the people of Nineveh, widespread, the greatest to the least, and then a revival is going to break out because God is a God of love and God is a God of grace and God desires that none should perish, but all should receive eternal life. This is the God that we belong to if we are saved by faith through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we want to learn then from Jonah's life. We want to put ourselves again within his life. And what do we understand then about the grace of God upon our lives and his love that will not give up on us as well? Here's the first thing that we learn today with the grace of God. It's this. Listen, grace, my God will not give up on me. Grace, loved ones, My God, your God, will not give up on you. My God will not give up on me. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying. Now, I love this truth right here in verse 1. Can you see it? Can you see it? In verse 1, what are we learning? We're learning this, that we belong to the God of second chances. We belong to the God of second chances. Jonah had a first chance. That's chapter 1, verse 1. And he bombed his first chance. God called him. God wanted to use him. Jonah takes off in such rebellion. Jonah is filled with self-love, self-interest, and a hard heart. But listen, but the Lord does not cut him off. No, instead, in his rebellion, the Lord pursues him. The Lord disciplines him. The Lord restores him. What a God we have. I love verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. We belong to a God of second chances. Love, let's just think of all the times that you and I have turned our backs in God in rebellion. I mean, just take a few moments just to think of all the times in our lives that we have spurned and rejected and moved away from what God has for us. All the times that we decided we knew better and we wanted ourselves and we turned away from God's love and what he had for us because of selfishness and sin and hardness of hearts. Just think of all the times that we have done that. Think of all the times we refused to listen, rejected his way, rejected his love, that we've loved our sin. And yet there God is in chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, and here he is even now in this place. Through this verse, here is God again pursuing, calling, loving. What is that? That is grace. There's one word for that. It's grace. Do you know we're also learning here from Jonah's life? We are learning that as God's child, God does not hold grudges against us. We are a child of God. God does not hold grudges against us. And when you understand that, that is awesome. Some of us are here right now, and we've been under the condemnation of Satan for too long. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that ends today. God is love, and God is grace. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Awesome. Do you know how far the east is from the west? It's pretty far. It's like infinitely far. You go left, I'll go right. Let's see when we meet up. Never, all right? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. In Christ, that is true. In Christ, that is grace. Stop for a second, loved ones. Consider the grace of God upon your life. There's not one person here in this room that does not need the grace of God. Not one single person. God does not give up on us. Grace. Pursues and calls and loves a God of second chances. Now, you might be here right now, and you're hearing of the grace of God and the God of second chances, and it, sometimes in our hearts we're saying, but I don't deserve a second, third, or fourth chance. And you know what? Neither do I. None of us deserve a second chance, but that's the whole point of grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. It's a gift. Jonah didn't deserve a second chance. But because God loved him, because God wanted to use him, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. What is this grace that we're talking? It's the power of the gospel. With Christ, all my sin is paid. In Christ, all my sin is gone. In Christ, all his righteousness is mine. Think about that. All my sin paid, all my sin on him, all his righteousness on me. I don't deserve it. I know it's grace. It's grace. The God of second chances. And that's why that hymn, Amazing Grace, is so fantastic. Look at the second verse of Amazing Grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. This is what's happening within Jonah's life too. It's the love and the grace of God. I want you to see this. Notice the two types of fear that John Newton wrote about here in this incredibly profound and, of course, powerful hymn. Grace that taught my heart to fear. Fear what? Fear the Lord. When I'm forgiven and I realize God gives me second chances and his love's gone and I don't deserve it, I fear the Lord. I am subject to wrath and judgment in hell, but in the grace of God, he forgives me and loves me and says to me, what else can I do but fall down and say, I am not worthy. You are awesome. Oh my God, I worship you. I fear, I revere, I honor the Lord. Towards grace, you see. See, it's not like I'm afraid of God. It's the sense when I see his love upon my life, it's the grace of God that brings my heart to fear my God. You don't ever underestimate the power of grace in the gospel. The grace doesn't say, oh, wow, now I got grace, so I'll live for myself now. No, no, no. Grace says, I can't believe I'm forgiven, and this teaches my heart to fear. But notice this, and grace my fears relieved. Fear of God, now the fears of life. Because of God's grace upon me, all my sin is gone. His righteousness on me, what's to be stressed about, honestly? The anxiety goes away. The fear of the world isn't there because I am a child of God's grace. I cannot die. I am his. I am good. The power of the gospel. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Isn't that so true? Here's the truth and here's the power. That grace is still upon you right this second. In Jesus Christ, that grace will be with you until the end of eternity. Loved ones, understand this. Because of the grace of God, you got to look right here right now. You got to look right here. You got to hear this. Ready? Because of the grace of God and the faith in Jesus Christ, listen, he loves you. He loves you, okay? I want you to hear that person to person today. The God of the universe looks upon you right now, and he says, I love you. Bobby, he loves you. You. There's a lot of other people in this room right now, but God wants you to know right now, he loves you. He loves you, Pam. He loves you. Why? Good question. Because he's a God of grace and love and mercy. But I don't deserve it. I know. It's incredible. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah must be like, man, what's up with this? My God is so kind and so good and so gracious. And it's the grace that propels Jonah now to be used. And it's the grace that God wants us to see. We can understand how much he wants to use us. As well. Loved ones, listen to this, okay? Grace. My God will never give up on me. And that's why we can run as far as we want, but you can't win because my God will win. I want you to hear it one more time. Grace. My God will never give up on me. If you are his forever. He will never give up on you. Second chances, third chances. Fourth chances, whatever it takes, God will do what God will do. This is the blessing of what we see in the grace of Jonah's life and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ upon our life as well. Number two, grace. My God pursues me to use me. See, there's purpose in his grace. There's tremendous purpose in his grace. Look at verse 2. So now God says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now he's obedient. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 40 days, Nineveh's done, overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Now, this little story that we just read in verses 2-5, this is nothing less than absolutely incredible. This is incredible. I mean, here again, we see the two grand themes of Jonah before us. The two grand themes in Jonah, if you remember, number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Notice this, God had a plan all along. God had a plan when Jonah went down to Joppa. God had a plan when Jonah went on the ship to Tarshish. God had a plan when he went down to sleep below the boat there. God had a plan through the storm. God had a plan through the sailors. God had a plan through the fish. And God has a plan for Jonah now when he's on dry land to go back to the place he originally asked him to. God's got a plan because God's in charge and because God is sovereign. His plan is completely including, notice, amazing grace all over the place. The second grand theme we see within Jonah is God's heart for evangelism. Notice the Lord desires that none should perish, so he wants to use Jonah to send forth his message of love. So the Lord pursues Jonah because he loves Jonah, but notice this, he also pursues Jonah to use Jonah. Don't you see that? That's such a key point for us here right now. So God pursues you because he loves you. And so God wants to change you. But more than that, God's love is upon you to pursue you because he wants to use you. He's pursuing you and me for a purpose. Not so we sit there and do nothing. Not so we just are spiritually lazy and just go through the motions. No, no. He pursues you to love you because he wants to use you. You, 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 not the person there and there. You. God wants to use you. Is he calling you? Wants to use you. Is he pursuing you? Is he coming after you? Wants to use you. Wants to use you in your life and in your family and in your marriage and in your neighborhood and your workplace and in your church and in your loved ones and in strength. Wants to use you. He's pursuing Jonah with a purpose to use him with the message of love that God wants to go forth within his people and within this world. So please understand then, as we learn here, we step back to see certain things, how important God's gospel is to God. Ever thought about that? How important the gospel of God is to God. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he was pursuing Peter after his denial, my favorite chapters in Scripture, John 21, and Peter denying, I think I resonate so strong with Peter denying because we're all in that place at times and we just fail Christ. But then Jesus doesn't give up on Peter and there's Peter in the boat and he sees Jesus. Jesus is like, try the other side and wait, is that our master? And Peter just whips into the sea and starts swimming as fast as he can because he's so filled with love. Why? Because he's so overcome by grace. Don't you see? He's like, wait, I get a second chance. Jesus could have called me off, but he doesn't. And Peter recognizes that this Jesus, the Son of God, he loves me still. And he jumps in the water and swimming all he can. And so interesting, isn't it, that Jesus says to him right after that, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me again? A third, do you love me? And each time, what does Jesus say? One of the conditions of understanding God's love for us and our love for him is, hey, Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, tend my sheep. Peter, love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Think about that. Does God care about his message reaching his sheep? Yes. And the proof of Peter's love to Jesus, according to this text, is if you love me, Peter, you will not hold my message within. You will take my message without. Because the same grace that saved you, I want you now to share that grace with hundreds and thousands of others as I direct through your life, and you will give me glory as you are obedient through the message of the gospel that I've entrusted to you. See, we're learning here with the life of Jonah, life of Peter, within our own lives, we can't fully love Christ. We can't fully love Christ. I'm going to say this slow. I want you to think about this. I want you to hear. We can't fully love Christ and not speak of Christ. You can't fully love him and not speak of him to a lost and dying world. Because that's just when we're so aware of the grace that is given to us, we want that to go from us because God's grace, listen, he pursues me to use me. Now, some of us right now, we're like, man, that's pretty convicting. And you're like, well, then what am I supposed to do? Listen, that's the wrong question to ask. It's not, what am I supposed to do? The question really is, who am I supposed to be? Because when I get who I'm supposed to be before Christ, well, that's when the things are accomplished through my life with Christ. What you need to see through Jonah's life and Jonah's change, and here's what we're going to know. And Jonah's going to have a hard time in chapter 4. I know that. Right now, he's seeing differently. He is a changed man. I want to point out three causes of transformation. The first one is this. I want you to know when one thing begets another. The first one is this. Grace begets grace. Within our lives, see that grace begets. Grace is the cause for more grace. Grace begets grace. When we see the grace of God to us, it shows the grace of God from us as well. If you and I want to be an instrument of grace, then we need to be receivers of grace. When I have received, and I know I've received the grace of God, it caused me to be an instrument of grace then of God from my life. When Jonah lands on the shore, he's a changed man. He's not perfect, I know that, but he's a changed man. He's been crying out, all of chapter 2 is crying out about the grace of God, which, notice, is now putting him in a perfect position to declare God's grace. So the more that we are aware of the grace that we've received, then the more we are aware and willing to extend it to others. That's why, you know, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. But somehow, through the gospel, through songs, through prayer, we just can't have that preciousness the hour we first believed. We got to take it with us right now. That as we sang that song, I saw some of you with tears in your eyes, broken over the gospel again in your life, and Lord willing, causing us to say, God, this grace must come from me now. I see this again, it must come from me. Notice in the gospels, time and time again, Jesus comes in, heals someone. Jesus comes in, spiritually heals someone. And what do? Do they stand there and say, right on, Jesus, thanks for that. I'm going to sit down now and just enjoy the rest of my life. Woo-hoo! No. They can't help but go, whoa, I'm leaping and praising and telling everyone what just happened. I love the story of the woman at the well. And there's Jesus, convicts her in her sin. Hey, go get your husband. She's like, oh no, my husband. I have a bunch of those, right? And Jesus knows that because Jesus knows there is no true conversion without conviction, okay? And he tells her about living water and he says, the person you're speaking of, ultimate Messiah, I am he. And she sees something for the first time. And what does she do? She sits still? No. She runs back to the town that she came from. Come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. That's awesome. Come and see. And the text says, and many Samaritans believed about Jesus Christ because of the woman's testimony. See, when you're truly saved in the grace of God, you just can't sit there and do nothing. No. Come and see. You go, come and see. Come and see Jesus, the guy who saved me, the man who saved me, the man who set me free from all of this. That's what grace does. You're so aware of grace. You're overwhelmed by grace that you must speak of grace. Grace begets grace. And that's why the gospel must be in our lives all the time. I can't believe I've been saved. I got to tell people about the one who saves. Secondly, death begets life. Death begets life. You see, what do you mean by that? Well, when Jonah first called, he was simply not ready. When he was first called, he was full of self and sin. But notice, then the discipline of the Lord begins. And the purpose of the discipline of the Lord in our lives is to what? Is to break us, is to humble us, is to change us, ultimately is to put us to death. Take up your cross, lose your life. The grain of wheat that falls to the earth and dies is the one that bears much fruit. See, this is why God's discipline is so gracious. The discipline of God, because he loves us, brings a death to us. And as we die to self, we live in Christ. Look at what Hebrews 12 says about the discipline of the Lord. This is such a great text. For they discipline, now this is talking about father, earthly mothers and fathers. For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he, God disciplines us for our good. So God's discipline comes upon our life for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Do you see that? So he allows trials. He sends in hard things. He disciplines us like a parent would a child. He disciplines us that we might become more holy. You see, because our death begets life in Christ. We die to self. We become alive in Jesus Christ. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. See, that's the part we don't like. It's like, oh man, the trial and the pain, and it's really hard. I want things to be easy. In the moment, it seems painful rather than pleasant. And we all agree with that. Yes. And in our flesh, I don't want to go through the trial. I don't want the discipline of God. But God knows better. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been noticed. Trained by it.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Have you been challenged or encouraged recently by something that you heard on this program? This is your opportunity to step forward and give so someone else can be encouraged like you have been. You can give to Live in the Light online at liveinthelight.ca or by calling us at 844-225-4448. We can't wait to hear from you. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.